And
she's, I don't know if I've ever done her voice, but she sounds like this, you know. And she's very Hollywood, and she's very much, she has her nose in everyone's business, you know. And Roddy Chason, you know, now I don't want to say anything or do anything that's going to offend any family members of hers. So what it would be more along the lines of, and this story's interesting because it's a mystery, you know. It's not necessarily a controversial.
Complicated plot. There were multiple drivers, multiple shootings. There's a whole, this is like a hit.
Right, but it's not. It's nothing that is controversial like the police have fucked something up. Nobody in Beverly Hills is saying suddenly we're not safe. You know, there's no real target here except for this lady driving down the road. So there's the first place you go is maybe we need, police security for our well-known people, for our famous people. Do we need police security for them? Do we need, should we find something better to do than to wonder who killed Ronnie Chason? You know, it's obvious to me. You know, I don't want to get it because it's still very close to the crime, so I don't want to get into the crime itself. I think if it was 6 months or a year or three down the road, we could talk about who killed her. We could actually get into the actual crime, but I think we have to kind of go around it. It has to be an issue having to do with can't you find something better to do than to concentrate on this or... Margaret could say, well, if I was running this investigation, I'd have it wrapped up tomorrow. It's obvious to me that this was done by ... You know, is it a crime? Is it a gangbanger? Is it a rival? Was it an actor? You know,
I really think it's an actor. Phil, this is not... John Wilkes Booth was an actor. So we know they're violent. We know they're capable of plotting.
I mean, you can go there. I'm sure an actor killed her. That's funny. I don't know why, but it's, you know, what did they find?
The actor killed her.
Well, what if they find out it was like someone like, you know, Catherine Ross, you know, who has been out of the public eye for years, you know, or was it who's the one that was in Superman and flipped out?
Margot Kidder.
That's it, man. Phil, where's Margot Kidder? They found her in a bush, but it's nothing that's going to get. That's more what we call a one-off. So nothing's going to get calls.
Yeah,
people will be very interested. What are people most? They just wonder who did it, right?
Yeah, they're just wondering who did it, and if it was, you know, or if it was just like some, you know, accidental robbery, or if it was this complicated murder plot. And then, like, things are coming out about like how she was really hated in the publicist world, and
what? No, that's. I mean, there. Of course, if you're successful, you're going to be hated by some people, not enough to be killed. Exactly, and of course, and you're going to have professional rivals, and there's going to be people that, you know, when you're good, you're always, doesn't matter how nice you are to people, you're always going to have detractors, so that's a little ridiculous. Somebody said road rage, and I'm thinking, sounds like that to me, man, because if you're going to hit somebody, wouldn't you, like, do it as they're getting out of their car, or wouldn't you make it more private, wouldn't you go where you're not necessarily going to be seen in a bunch of cameras? And I don't know that a 64-year-old woman is going to do much to cause road rage, but hey, she's in a Mercedes. She could have swung the car in a, I don't know, what do you want to say, a radical way across a couple of, across the lines. Some guy with a real fucking temper problem. You know? Do we have a character on us? I can understand that. I don't want to talk about the Ronnie Chason thing, but, we've all wanted to kill someone. You know, what if you had a guy who's saying that it's almost understandable that you shoot somebody in traffic? Phil, with the traffic, the way it's understandable, you're going to get angry. You're going to want to, if you've got a gun.
Yeah, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more.
And, it used to be Road Rage City around here, man. I don't know how old you are, but back in the 80s, you know, I remember driving to work one morning with my head, you know, that place between the front door and the back door, there's a nice solid piece of car. I'm pushing my head there. Yeah, seriously, man, look it up. We had freeway shootings all the time.
Where can we go with calls with that, though?
I know, and I wonder. Well, there's a place, but you got to think it up and you got to work it up. You know what I'm going to do, man? I'm going to get off the horn with you and do a little prepping, and I'll call you if I get something that I think has potential and run it by you.
Cool.
Okay.
And then well, you want to dial up about 6 o'clock?
Yeah, 6 o'clock we'll dial up, brother.
Cool.
All right, man, thanks. Goodbye. All right, welcome to the pre-show here. This is our pre-KFI show. Now, many people are wondering, what the fuck is this, man? No, Jesus. Many people are wondering, are we going to do a video cast tonight? And I... it's just a matter of, for me, it's just a matter of wanting to be polite. I mean, I know that sounds crazy. Why are we having a... And what do I mean by that? I want to check it out with my guys at KFI, that's all. And they were not in the office this week, and I wasn't about to bother anybody at home about this. However, I still might go ahead and put it on the video cast. But that necessitates one other thing that I need to do. And that would be over here, I think, on the Orban card. All right, so tonight we have... Tonight we're going to go to Art Griego for the Los Angeles audience on the big bust that National Opt-Out Day was. And then I was talking to Randy about Ronnie Chasen's murder, but that may not be Black Friday's excessive and wasteful. Do they have a point? Is all that spending too much? Black Friday. It was also Black Friday. Let's see here, man. If you go to the homepage, you see Amir Forster's husband, Kevin. He's wearing our old Ted's of Beverly Hills apron. I know I said on Twitter, tonight I'm going to tell you whose ass I want to kick.
An exploitive tweet.
It was, bells and whistles, man, TNA. I mean, yeah. No, there's nobody I want to... Let me put it this way. There's nobody whose ass I want to kick. unless we're talking about out there in the world of assholes. You know, the world of, I don't know, dictators and fucking, you know, just public personalities. But I can't even think of anybody whose ass I want to kick in that way. Fuck me! God damn it, man. 2 days off, I'm still tired. 2 days off, and I can't get to bed before 4 o'clock either. Before 4 o'clock, I can't get to fucking bed. Protesters say Black Friday's excessive. I'm going to get back over to the webmail. Now, I was thinking of tweeting this. I was thinking of just putting one word, Urbanski, in Twitter. And seeing if... maybe I will. We'll go there. Travolta sues over gay rumors. Travolta sues over gay rumors. Now, you can sue over gay rumors, but are you going to win? Are you going to win? First of all, you have to prove that... There's something in the whole accusation of being gay. It's not illegal to be gay, so you're not accusing somebody of an illegal act. But you are accusing somebody of being someone or something that's controversial enough to damage. And it is. I mean, in the world that we live in, it is. It's unfortunate, but it is. Now, John Travolta has to at some point show that that's what happened or that he has been damaged. But I don't know. I don't know. All right, let me see here, man. Got another little note here from my cousin Fran back in Canada. We may have a, I may go back. I don't know. But I just might get my ass on an airplane and go to Canada for Christmas. I just might get my ass on an airplane and go to Toronto, get, naturally, a, you know, nice hotel, because I don't, you know, I'm very antisocial. No, I'm not, but I'm not going to be, you know, yeah, can I stay at your house? So get myself a nice, you know, whatever you call it, 4-star, 5-spoon, 10-checkmark hotel with a in-room spa, and then it's Toronto. What are they going to have? It's going to be fucking cold. And then, anyway, I will, you know, check the fam out, man. I think it's time. My father is gone. My mother's gone. My Aunt Gladys gone. My grandparents are gone. Everyone's gone, man. I'm gone. I'm mentally gone. And I think it's time that I hook up with my cousins, of which there are only three. And now I've got all of these second and third cousins, because they got 68 kids between them, Fran and Elaine, and Paul's got a couple. And now there's a great-granddaughter in there someplace. So there's a whole lot of family back in Canada. And there ain't a whole lot of family in California. As a matter of fact, all the family in Canada is all my mom's people. My dad's people, who the fuck knows, man? Because the only person that my father, the only person I knew of on my father's side was that Aunt Alice. If you go to our, I'm going to have some pictures. We're going to start a photo gallery on our homepage. There's a photograph of a woman named Aunt Alice. We used to call her Aunt Alice, but I think she was my dad's cousin. My dad's cousin on his real mother's side. I don't know. On his real mom's side? I think so. And she was an American. She was from Albany, New York. His mother was an American from Albany, New York. But my dad was born in Toronto in 1915. So, make a long story short, you know, did any Canadians fight in the Pacific in World War II? Next, anyway, we might do that, man. I might do that. Go back to Canada and see those guys, but I don't know. It all depends on the work thing. Now, we're still looking for that video rant when you get a chance. Okay, here's Greg. Archives and see, I just have it run automatically and download the latest show and then they keep it forever. Makes sense. Yeah. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Every time I hit reply all to these emails I get, look at this. There's an email for Phil Hendry from Phil Hendry. Obama's primetime interview about loses to rerun of Blue Bloods in the ratings. Wow. Woo! Are you ready for that? Are people Obama'd out? And by that I mean that it's not that they don't like the man. But are they just like, okay, enough with the fucking, the life of Barack Obama, you know? In other words, I think it reached its full bullshit level with the Nobel Prize. And I say that with great respect because I like President Obama. I do. There's not a lot of American presidents I don't like. I mean, I disagree with some of the shit they do, but I wish him well. They're the president of my country, you know? Why would I want him to fuck up, man? You know, yeah, but if they do the things they want to do, they're going to ruin this guy. If they do the shit that makes the country better, then I'm going to be happy. You're going to be happy. What are you fucking talking about, you stupid cunt? What are you talking about? If they do shit to fuck it up, I'll be pissed. Yeah. Well, what are you doing for? Did you vote for the shit that he... I voted for a guy who was sort of a game changer. Yeah, yeah, I did, you know. I liked what President Bush did for the country. I did at a time when it probably, if anybody else had been president, I don't see anybody in the American political landscape, not a fucking one, on the American political landscape on September the 11th of 2001, not one of those dumb motherfuckers was going to do any better than him. As a matter of fact, I don't see any that were going to do as well as he did. Not a fucking one, including Gore, who has just who's lost his fucking mind, in my opinion, and I voted for that guy. See, I'm one of the few guys that can say, I voted for a bunch of guys that didn't win, and some guys did, and they sucked, and, you know, and some of them I really think were great, and some I wished I hadn't voted for them, and, you know, but fuck it, man, I'm going to sit here and lie like everybody else does, present company accepted, of course. All right, so here's the thing. This is the thing, man. I was going to tweet, here we go. Oregon bomb plot motive could be war on Christmas. Jesus H. Christ. After enjoying their city's Christmas tree lighting, Portland, Oregon residents felt a twinge of shock and then a rush of gratitude on Saturday when they learned that law officers foiled a plan to set off a bomb in a state the suspect says nobody ever thinks about. Muhammad Osman Murama Hadiga Dududu Bububu, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Somalia, was seized in connection with a plan to detonate what he believed to be a vehicle bomb at the ceremony on Friday night, the Justice Department announced. Wow, man. When did they bust him? On Sunday? Or did they do it just before? Muhammad was whisked away by the FBI and Portland Police Bureau after he attempted to detonate what he believed was an explosive-laden van parked near the tree lighting ceremony in Portland's Pioneer Courthouse Square. But the bomb turned out to be a fake thanks to an undercover operation designed to undermine the plotter. Fuck all you guys without the fucking, I don't want the, you know, the Patriot Act, man, and a this and a that. Not you guys, but you know what I'm saying? Undercover operation. Now, I wonder how many civil rights were violated by those officers with that undercover plot. How many? You better get the fucking Coase on it, get the Move On motherfucker on it, get the Dianne Feinstein bullshit on it, go ahead, get the Pelosi on it, because I want to know whose fucking civil rights were fucked up because the cops did an undercover thing in Portland and they fucking put a fake bomb in there and the motherfucker was caught. Sure, yeah, okay, bitch, because, you know, people do die. I mean, that's not the point, that people die. We don't give a fuck that people die. We want to make sure our civil rights aren't violated. What I just said right now is the fucking mindset of the motherfuckers out there, man, who are fucking doing this over waterboarding. I'm telling you. Waterboarding. What's that fucking word that they use when they interrogate a guy in another country so they can say that it wasn't done in the United States? Who the fuck cares and who knows? I don't give a shit. They can torture their fucking asses to death for all I care. They could waterboard this bitch to find out about a bomb that's at a Christmas tree lighting ceremony in Portland. You want anybody waterboarded for that one, you motherfuckers? And you know who I'm talking to, Lionel. I'm kidding, Lionel. I'm kidding, man. I'm kidding. Lionel, you fucking... But it's true. I mean, tell me I'm fucking... Jesus, fuck, man. So, does Dean Wheeler come on and say...
The thing you're not thinking about, what civil rights were violated? In order for them to get the...
Oh, will you shut up?
No, I don't want to. I don't want to.
All right, Bud, go over and kill him.
Right, I'm on my way.
What did you do?
I'm sending Bud over to kill you.
That retard. Hold on for a minute. Hello?
Hello.
Oh, it's my pizza. Yes.
That'd be funny. All right, Portland Police Chief Michael Reese said, it's very difficult for me to comprehend how a young man who this country's given great opportunity to could waste these opportunities and be willing to commit a horrific crime. It's very sad. Fuck it. A resident of Corvallis and a student at Oregon State University, in other words, a beaver, Muhammad, who now faces a maximum sentence of life in prison and a $250,000 fine, was arrested on suspicion of attempting to use a weapon of mass destruction. He will make his initial thing and the thing and the thing. But the bomb turned out to be a fake thanks to an undercover operation designed to undermine the plotter. Justice Department spokesman Dean Boyd said the materials were not explosive, and officials said the public was never in danger from the mock device. Sharon Rose said she didn't know about the investigation and she returned home from the tree lighting. Who's she? Who the fuck is Sharon Rose? It does make me feel better the FBI was on the ball in this case and doing some actual work rather than pretending to look out for us and trying to make themselves look... What a cunt. Sharon Rose of Portland, you're a fucking cunt. You're a fucking cunt. How many other fucking jobs are they doing out there that you don't know about? Listen to this quote from this fucking cunt who was at the fucking tree lighting ceremony. It does make me feel better that the FBI was on the ball in this case and doing some actual work rather than pretending to look out for us and trying to make themselves look good, the Portland resident told CNN News. And then this stupid cunt said this. Why would anyone mess with Portland? Such a sweet little town. Obviously somebody wanted to. That's brilliant, Sharon fucking Rose of Portland. But Dwight Holmes, a U.S. attorney for the District of Oregon, said in a statement that this defendant's chilling determination is a stark reminder that there are groups, even here in Oregon, who are determined to kill Americans. Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Al-Qaeda, those are the guys that tried to take us down, on 9/11. So let's not get overly enthusiastic. It's Al-Qaeda that we want. Make sure that this guy, was he in Al-Qaeda? He wasn't in Al-Qaeda. So why were we looking at him in the first place? I'm telling you. The greatest thing about a very terrible thing that happened on 9/11 is this. As the years go by and as we get further from the event, the people who have been protesting about civil rights this and wiretap that and war in Iraq this and war in Afghanistan that, they look, in my book, they look dumber and fucking dumber. Our investigation shows that Muhammad was absolutely committed to carrying out an attack on a very grand scale. At the same time, I want to reassure the people of this community, fuck them. No, I ain't saying fuck them. I shouldn't say that. But Sharon Rose, fuck you. Hey, CNN, how did you find the one fucking cunt in the whole crowd? How is that possible? How did you do that, man? You got, I don't know how many thousands of people went to see the tree lighting in Portland, and you found the cunt to interview. Sharon fucking Rose. Let her fucking name ring down the halls of history, you bitch. Jesus H. Christ, what a fucking whore. Here's some guys that are, how do you know the FBI making themselves look good, you stupid cunt? Jesus H. Oh. Oh, God. On his blog, Portland Mayor Sam Adams lauded a smart investigation by local, state, and federal defense bent on the mass destruction. The arrest was the culmination of a long-term undercover operation. He had been monitored closely as the alleged plot developed. According to an arrest warrant affidavit written on Spechbat, boo, 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 the two communicated regularly. Muhammad attempted to contact another associate who he thought would help facilitate the travel overseas. I mean, this is a whole big fucking story, people, and this is a whole big fucking thing, man. And I'm telling you, I think it is the height. It is pure turn of the millennium brain freeze American, just so far from the revolution and the wars of independence and the wars for freedom and the real sweat and the real blood that has poured for this country, that a generation of Americans so far removed from that they sit there and they say the FBI, good thing they're actually doing a real job. What the fuck do you do, Sharon fucking Rose? I hate people like that. I say that in a figurative sense, you know, I mean, hate. I just think you talk about the people that killed this country right there. You know, we could use just a little bit of fucking, thanks very much. But I guess people are embarrassed to do that because they think they're chumps. I look at somebody like this bitch, and to me, she's a chump. To me, she's a typical fucking post-Vietnam era chump. Everything the government does is suspect. Everything the government does is should be looked at very closely because, you know, there's black helicopters and we've got all this shit. I mean, what? You know, give it up, man. There's no black helicopters. And even if there were black helicopters, this is America. Nobody takes over this country as a dictator. It doesn't happen. What will happen, what is very possible is Mad Max. That's possible. In this fucking country, that's very fucking possible, bitch. And let me tell you something else. You don't want that. A bitch like Sharon Rose, she'd much rather have a fucking dictator than Mad Max running around, so she's got to go to the store with Steve Bozell and get an extra carton of lube. Huh?
As for Rose, she didn't notice anything unusual at the ceremony. There was a lot of police presence, but not an extraordinary one. The cops were mostly concerned with getting the idiots out of the street. She said she doesn't feel any less safe now than she did before last night. Bad stuff can happen to you wherever you are. Khalid Lugman of Muslims for Peace and Sanity handing out information to Portland passersby. We need to show the world that Islam can coexist with the rest of the world peacefully. Bad stuff can happen to you wherever you are. Boy, you guys found the one fucking cunt. Bad stuff can happen to you, Sharon, wherever you are. Why would anybody want to mess with Portland? They're messing with our country. You understand? Don't you? You don't. Oh, God, what a whore. Oh, fuck. What a fucking whore. Un-fucking-believable, these people, man. If you just tuned in, I'm talking about my, you know, ex-girlfriend, and I'm kidding, of course. No, I'm talking about this bitch that was interviewed for CNN. Which ex-girlfriend? Why is it the funniest thing I ever saw as a kid was the guy who gets shot and then hits the horn? That became a staple in my early comedy development, if you can call it that. I mean, that was a staple of just laughs. You know, I'd always get laughs from people if I just go, you know, that was that. And just, you know, little comedic touches, like, you know, middle of a, say, a family reunion, your grandmother's there, Christmas time, Thanksgiving, and everybody's had their turkey, and anybody want to tell a story? Yeah. I'll do that if I go to Canada for Christmas. And they'll all just like me. Holy Christ, what have we invited here? All right, Urbanski, by the way, so I want to say something to my friend Doug Urbanski. You are in London and you're producing a movie, and that's good. It's Tinker, Tailor, Sailor, something, and I know that Gary Oldman's in it. He's a hell of an actor, one of the greatest that I've ever seen in my life. But, Doug, you got a radio show you're going to be starting in January, and you're over there pulling your dick. What is this, man? I understand that you produce movies and you do a goddamn good job at it. But what do you think this is here, man? You think this is something... you know, you and I knew each other for a number of years. You think that I'm... This is easy? You know, you're going to make the mistake, and this guy that hired him, this Pattis, you make these fucking mistakes. You clowns do it all the time. You do it all the fuck... I don't know why you do it. I guess you can make that short-term dollar, because God knows, finding a long-term talent in radio, that means work, and that also means you got to know something. And you fucking don't know shit. You know that, man. You make money, and that's fine. But I was just curious, man, when you go out, you think you're a talent scout. Now, when you hire a guy, what do you think's going to fucking happen, man? Is he magically going to become a radio host? Or what do you do? How does that work for you, man? I know how it actually works in reality, but I'm in your fantasy, what is it about? You got a guy who's over there in London. He better get his shag his fucking ass back here, sit down and figure this shit out. He's got a 5-day a week, 3-hour a day, or I don't know, maybe he negotiated something less, of a fucking radio show to do. And there are going to be people crawling up his fucking ass every goddamn day. Every fucking day of his life. You think reading a fucking newspaper or getting this shit or that shit, huh? What you going to do, man? You going to have him do interviews? Is he going to interview movie stars? Is he going to interview people who are political? Is he going to interview people from the world stage? Is he going to monologue? And what's he going to talk to Flyover America about? As my good friend, our common friend, Doug Andrew Breitbart said, you know, it's Flyover America. What the fuck are you going to talk to those guys about, huh? You going to talk to a guy in Nebraska about what, man? What the fuck have you got to say to him? I'm not saying you don't have anything to say, but what I am saying is you better goddamn well start thinking about it. You know what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Then you know what I'm saying. Let me see what I'm saying. See what I'm saying? Okay, see. So, not this show. No. Not celebrity ghost stories. That doesn't compute, man. We don't do that shit. No. That's as desperate as it gets. Tonight on Celebrity Ghost Stories, are you bullshitting me? So what do you think? Dean Wheeler tonight? And Dean Wheeler wants to know if any of this young man's
if were any of this young man's rights fucked with? You know? Heroes, an all-star tribute, CNN. What is this? Anderson Cooper hosts the fourth annual salute to everyday people for their work improving. If it says environment, I'm going to vomit. Improving the world. Bon Jovi, Sugarland, and John Legend with Common and Melanie Fiona perform. Presenters include Jessica Alba, Halle Berry, Kid Rock, Demi Moore, and the guy that almost bombed Portland will also be our special guest. That's great. Oh, and Dean Wheeler. Anderson Cooper is Dean Wheeler. That's Dean Wheeler. All right. What do we got going on here, man? Showbiz news. Travolta, gay rumors are blatant lies. All right, so what we're going to do tonight then, and let me just get... Dean Wheeler on the Portland bombing suspect. I want to know if that young man's rights were observed. It's also important to know that the law was observed in every step of the way. In fact, before we start passing the blowjobs out, well, this is a soldier, and he is Cambodian self-help demining, and he just got an award from some chick with the greatest ass you ever saw. Is this a... Oh, he's a Cambodian soldier. And there's people bawling.
My name's Akira. I have never been chosen for anything except to be a soldier. I want to thank CNN for this honor. I want to thank Bill, my babu, for...
By the way, interesting point. Interesting point. Who is that? Who gave him the award? Is that Cameron Diaz or what is that, man? What ass is that? I can't. Terrible thing to say. Where's my brother from L.A., man? Shit, Randy. Okay. The Cambodian people. There was a very interesting article about three, four years ago. I think in Time or Newsweek. It said, you know, the whole world is reacting to the war in Iraq and Afghanistan with negativity, and George Bush is on the defense of this, that. But there's one country in the world where the people, public opinion swings all the way in favor of America's invasion of Iraq, Cambodia. Cambodia. And they asked them, so why? And the Cambodian people are almost stunned having to be asked the question. They're saying, of course he's a dictator. He's a dictator. He's a murderous dictator. Now, the Cambodian people have experience with that. The Pol Pot regime, the Khmer Rouge, they have deep and horrible scars from murderous, totalitarian, despotic government. It happened to them. So that when they freed themselves of that, and now the scum that committed these crimes in Cambodia have been on, there's a war crimes trial going on right now. That's hopefully will convict these animals. They left millions of Cambodians slaughtered and dead in ditches. So when they asked the Cambodian people, what do you think of America's invading Iraq? They're like, yeah, right on. Wherever there are dictators, kill them all. Take them out. It's pretty cut and fucking dried for those people, man. There ain't no fucking dance they're doing. And there ain't nothing anybody's going to teach them or tell them about freedom or what it's like to live under a dictator, or what it's like to live under a really repressive regime, as opposed to these candy-ass motherfuckers you got in this country that actually are thinking they're living under, this is the first step toward fascism. Oh, my God. Only an American has the fucking luxury to sit around and jerk off those thoughts, you know? What happened? My computer just is like saying, what do you want? What did you... No, no. No, man, don't do it, man, don't. Okay. Now, the other comment I want to make here, Dean Wheeler, and then we have Art Griego on the failure, the abject failure of the opt-out day. That story is, that TSA story, that Portland story. Obama's primetime rating with Barbara Walters is in the shitter. It's very interesting. Again, like I said, I think once the Nobel Prize thing, I think that was the, what do they call it, jumping of the shark. It was like, you know, no, wait just a minute. Wait just a fucking minute here, man. Now, what did you just say? Well, he's won the Nobel Prize. Okay, that does it. That does it. You know, I'm glad I voted for him, and that's good, and we hope, you know, and we want. And but the Nobel Peace Prize, and the cat ain't even president yet? You know, or it's only 3 days into the job? No. So I think there's just, it's overexposure. It's fucking overexposure. And you wonder, can a president be overexposed? Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Phil. You know, what is that about? The insult being delivered to our president, that blue blood. What is it about? I'll tell you what it is about, Phil. It's about an American people that already have forgotten.
But obesity rates rising globally. The world could use a personal trainer. We may have found her in our next hero. To tell her story, here's an honored member of the Red Cross Celebrity Cabinet and star of NCIS Los Angeles, LL Cool J.
Well, these people are too fucking cool for they're too cool for me. I mean, I just saw Marissa Tomei. Here comes LL Cool J. You know, you just got to step the fuck back when you see him. And who else we got here, man? I just saw all kind of fucking people. I walk in, man, I can't get in the front fucking door of this fucking place. Here's LL Cool J, right? I don't even have to turn the sound up. I know what it sounds like. Millions of people around the world are dying of starvation. And while we here in America enjoy the good life, we should remember what it's like for so many. And, ha 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 ha, you know, get a couple of, write me a joke or something, man. Write me a fucking joke.
Restaurant menus and school lunches. She molded exercise classes for women and started a walking club with T-shirts that read, "Walking is cheap, life is precious."
Walking is cheap, life is precious.
All over our city.
All over our city. Life is precious.
My name is Linda Pomegranate, and I challenge my hometown.
Linda Pomegranate? I never even heard of her. All right, fuck it. I don't give a shit.
I call upon you to help to take the challenge by signing.
I'll take the challenge, Linda, and thank you very deeply for your honor, for you being, making me doing what I gotta do. All right, man. Randy? Randy? Hello?
Yeah, go for it.
Huh?
You ready for me to dial up?
Go ahead, brother. Do it to it. All right.
Which number are we using?
All right, guys, we will see you later. I don't know. I don't think we're going to have a video cast tonight.
Well, title records show the real owner of this home was Thomas Felix, who moved to...